Welcome to Luma Digest. I'm Noura. So there's a question that's been sitting at the center of robotics for years now. How do you teach a robot to do something useful without spending months collecting training data? Because that has been the bottleneck. You want a robot to pick up objects. You need thousands of demonstrations. You want it to navigate a warehouse. You need annotated sensor data from every possible scenario. It's expensive, it's slow, and it does not scale. Rhoda AI has been working on something that might actually solve this. Eric Chan and his team are training robots using direct video action models. Not sensor data from robots, not hand-labeled demonstrations, just video from the internet, YouTube tutorials, cooking shows, construction footage, the kind of video that already exists in massive quantities and shows humans doing the thing you want the robot to learn. And this is the bit that really matters. It works. They are seeing robots learn complex tasks with minimal training overhead. The model watches video, extracts the relevant actions, and maps those actions to robot control. No expensive data collection pipeline, no months of manual annotation. Just point it at video and let it learn. The reason this is such a big deal is not just the cost savings, though those are significant. It's that this approach scales in a way traditional methods never could. There are billions of hours of video on the internet showing humans performing tasks. If robots can learn from that, the data problem essentially disappears. You are not limited by how much training data you can afford to collect. You are limited by how well you can extract useful information from video that already exists. Now, there are still challenges here. Video from the internet is messy. It is not annotated. It is not calibrated. It shows humans doing things in human ways, not robot ways, but the architecture is getting good enough to handle that. The models are learning to generalize from messy input to reliable output. And that is what makes this feel like a genuine shift rather than just an interesting research direction. Worth thinking about what this unlocks, right? If data collection stops being the bottleneck, what becomes possible? Okay, so this next one is about infrastructure, but stay with me because it matters. NeoBolt just raised $60 million at over $1 billion valuation. They are a Cambridge-based battery company, and their thing is fast charging. Really fast charging. The kind that enables 24/7 autonomous operation for mobile robots. Here's why that is significant. Right now, most autonomous robots have the same problem electric vehicles had 10 years ago: range anxiety and long charging times. A warehouse robot that needs 4 hours to charge after 6 hours of work is not that useful. You need multiple robots to cover one shift, or you accept downtime, or you build complex battery swapping systems. NeoBolt's tech changes the maths. Fast charging means a robot can top up during breaks, shift changes, or between tasks. You do not need redundant units. You do not need elaborate swapping infrastructure. You just need charging stations placed sensibly around the facility. And the growth numbers here are telling. 5 times year-over-year revenue growth. Investors clearly believe this is infrastructure that scales. Because as physical AI moves into warehouses, hospitals, construction sites, the robots need to actually stay operational. Battery tech is not the sexy part of robotics, but it is absolutely the part that determines whether a deployment succeeds or fails in the real world. The takeaway? Autonomy is only useful if it is continuous. And continuous operation needs power infrastructure that works at robot speed, not human speed. Right, let me lighten things up a bit with a story about giant Lego and inchworm robots. MIT has built something called Millibot. It is an inchworm-style robot that assembles structures from voxels. Think of voxels like three-dimensional pixels, modular blocks that snap together. The robot does not need a traditional base or scaffolding, it just inches along the structure as it builds, adding pieces as it goes. Now, the researchers are claiming this approach has lower embodied energy than 3D-printed concrete. And as robot costs fall, the labor economics start to look competitive with traditional construction. What I find interesting here is not so much the robot itself, but the idea of rethinking construction from first principles. We have been building things the same way for centuries: foundations, frames, walls. But if you are designing for robots instead of humans, maybe that is not the optimal approach anymore. Maybe structures built from modular voxels by inchworm robots make more sense. Easier to repair, easier to reconfigure, easier to scale. It is still early research, obviously, but worth keeping an eye on. Because construction is one of those industries where labor shortages are real, costs keep climbing, and there is genuine appetite for alternatives that work. Now this is where it gets interesting. OpenAI just released GPT Real-Time 2, and this is not just another model update. This is voice becoming a genuine interface layer. Real-time transcription, real-time translation, real-time action taking while someone is speaking. The system understands context mid-sentence and responds naturally. This is not text-to-speech bolted onto a chatbot. This is voice as a first-class interface. Think about what that means for robotics, for fieldwork, for any situation where keyboards are not practical. A technician on a construction site can give commands mid-sentence. A nurse in a hospital can ask for information without stopping what she's doing. The robot or system understands context, asks for clarification if needed, and acts. And this ties directly back to physical AI. Because if robots are going to work alongside humans, voice is the most natural interface. Not screens, not buttons. Just talk to the thing and it understands. There is also something called MRC that OpenAI is using behind the scenes. It is hidden supercomputer networking tech that keeps frontier model training running at scale. The technical details are not public, but the fact they built custom infrastructure for this tells you how seriously they are taking the real-time voice problem. The big picture here: voice is no longer just an output. It is becoming the way we interact with systems, and that changes interface design across everything. Okay, so here's the question that has been running through all of this. Why are we still sending everything to the cloud? There is a practical architecture shift happening right now. Developers are moving inference to microcontrollers, local processing, edge devices, and the reasons are straightforward. Bandwidth costs, latency, privacy, operating costs, all of those favor local inference. The cloud is not going away. It is still responsible for fleet analytics, model training, and pushing updates. But the day-to-day inference, the real-time decision-making, that is moving to the device. For robotics, this is critical. A warehouse robot cannot wait for API round trips to make decisions. It needs to process sensor data locally, make decisions in milliseconds, and only phone home when it needs help or when it has learned something worth sharing. The practical challenge is not fitting small models onto chips anymore. The hardware is there. The challenge is managing model updates across thousands of devices, handling real-world sensor drift, keeping the local inference reliable over years of operation. Those are not research problems. Those are engineering problems. And they are the ones that determine whether this stuff actually works in production. What is interesting is how these three threads connect. Robots learning from video data, talking to humans in real time, thinking locally without depending on cloud calls. Each piece unlocks something the others needed. A robot that learns from internet video does not need expensive training infrastructure. A robot with real-time voice understands commands without translation layers. A robot with local inference makes decisions fast enough to be useful. Put those together and you have something that starts to look like genuinely practical physical AI. So, stepping back from all of that, here's what I keep coming back to. The conversation around physical AI is shifting from research demos to production systems. And production systems need three things: data at scale, interfaces that work in the real world, an architecture that runs reliably without constant cloud dependency. Video-based learning solves the data problem, real-time voice solves the interface problem, local inference solves the architecture problem, and the companies building all three pieces at once are the ones worth watching. Something to think about this weekend. Where does your own setup sit on that spectrum? Are you still building for the cloud-first world? Or are you thinking about what happens when inference moves local? That's it for now. Thanks for listening. Links in the show notes.